the great Gedolei HaRishonim, perhaps you are familiar with him somewhat, is Rabbeinu Bachaye Al HaTorah. Rabbeinu Bachaye was a Rishon who lived in Spain, and he has a fantastic parish Al HaTorah. But besides his own Chidushim, which are many, he also sometimes quite often comments on the Ramban and really elucidates the position of the Ramban. So one of his very fascinating comments that he has is that every mitzvah has two aspects to it. There is the chitzoni aspect of the mitzvah, the outer shell, if you will, the outer cover, but every mitzvah also has a pinyus. Every mitzvah also has an inner meaning, an inner lesson that one could derive from it. Let's give you a simple example. We know the mitzvah of sukkah. So the mitzvah consists of, we learned here in Yeshiva last year, Masechta Sukkah. So we know what the halachic requirements of a sukkah are. But that's only the chitzoni element of the sukkah. Now clearly, sukkah has another inner element, what the Torah says, Basukkah Seishu Shivas Yomim, Kol Ezov Yisrael Yeshu Basukkah, Suman Yedi Dorosechem, Ki Basukkah Soshati Yisrael Yisrael, Bosi Yosom Yeres Mitzrayim, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yud Aleph, has a machlok is whether that pasuk means sukkah's mamish or anani yakobov, but the point of Rabbeinu Bachaye is that there's a dual aspect to the mitzvah. There's the external halachic requirement, and then there's the internal, the element, you might call it the maaseh mitzvah as opposed to the kiyum mitzvah. There are different ways of expressing it. My interest really in this year, I'm going to connect it to the parsha a little bit, but my interest is to talk about one specific God of Israel whose yahrzeit was last week. His name is Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Orbach, Zechatzal Debracha. Perhaps you may have heard of his father. I assume you did. Hagon Rav Shmuel Zalman Orbach, Zechatzal Debracha. And I actually had a connection to Rav Shmuel Zalman Orbach when I studied in Yeshiva in Itri, which is in Yerushalayim, in the area which today actually is called Talpiot. Perhaps you've been there. Perhaps you're familiar with the area. It's an industrial area of Yerushalayim. And I used to visit Rav Shmuel Zalman Orbach literally on a weekly basis. Once a week I went to talk to him. I think I mentioned in the past this idea. But at the same time, he had a son who was a Rosh Kollel in the Yeshiva I learned in, and his name was Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Orbach. Now, one of the difficulties in understanding Gedolei Yisrael, to be quite honest, is the following. Often, as I said, they also have two aspects to them. I'll call it the Torah Shebichsav, and then there's the Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav is that which people somehow seem to be drawn to, but often Gedolei Yisrael are really remarkably hidden and do not necessarily reveal themselves. They're incredibly tzaduah, kimat all of them, the ones that I certainly knew in my lifetime. And so there are really two aspects to them. The outward aspect, and there's also the inner core, the inner pnimius of each individual. And often it's very fascinating to see how people read Gedolei Yisrael and how they understand them. And often I would say really incorrectly. I'll give you a few examples. I think the best example that all of us are probably familiar with is the example of our Rebbe Muvok. Is it possible that we can somehow try to contain ourselves? I beg of you.
I'm not taking my pills.
That's a correct statement. So, Hagon, Rav Yossi Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, who was, had the schus of being in the shir and also attending many other shirim. I went for almost 13 years, came out 13 years, to a shir he said in Manhattan, besides the regular shirim he said in the yeshiva. I also went to Boston, came out every summer. He was my guru in many, many respects. There is a well-known documentary. I don't know if you've seen it, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, perhaps you're aware of it. That documentary more or less portrays the Rav in a certain kind of light. It's clear that the documentary had a particular agenda, and that agenda was to portray him as the father of modern orthodoxy, however you define that term. That requires a separate discussion. But the one aspect that I felt was missing in that documentary was really what the Rav was all about. And if I were to ask you, what's your position, Rabbi Soloveitchik? How would you portray him if you were to be asked in a brief sentence? What would you say his major contribution to the world of Torah Judaism was? You would answer?
I I don't think the father of modern orthodoxy is so far off from that answer.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he was not, but I'm saying there was another aspect that was not sufficiently accentuated in that documentary, and that is he was the Magid Shir par excellence of this generation. He taught Klal Yisrael Torah. He himself saw himself primarily as a Malamid. I'm not saying he didn't have other aspects in him. He had many aspects. A very complex, very unique personality, distinctive, according to my humble opinion. And this, of course, I'm slightly biased, as you probably know. I believe he saved the North American rabbinate. I believe he saved North American Jewry. But this aspect is often insufficiently understood. He was a Malamid Shein Kamoh. His shiurim were, I can only describe them as scintillatingly brilliant, charismatic. Several thousand people would come to his shiurim on an ongoing kind of basis, which really is something that's almost impossible to imagine today, such a personality, such a figure. So that's what I'm talking about. The Torah Shebichtav, the outward, seemingly philosophic element that was certainly very prevalent in his personality, and he was a student of philosophy, had a PhD in philosophy from the University of Berlin. There's no question that was a very significant aspect of his persona. But primarily, I would say he was the Malamid Shein Kamoh. He really taught many, many years, 50 years approximately of Shiurim, where he taught people how to learn. He gave them critical skills, critical thinking skills, and the like. I'll give you another example. Here we have to speak to the people who know. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, Sefer Tzadik LeBracha. How would you define his role? What would you say his main role? To many people, let's not ask Admon, he's not a good example. How would you define the main example of the Babshir Rebbe, his main contribution to Klal Yisrael? What would you say?
I don't know much about the Babshir Rebbe.
Wow. Good night to learn about him. Okay, what would you say his main contribution was?
Zeis HaYehudi.
What do you call it?
The spark.
Spark. The Jewish spark.
Yeah, everyone.
Wow. No question about it. He certainly, in terms of the Kiruv that he did, which was worldwide, which was phenomenal, the man was undoubtedly, probably in terms of Kiruv, he may have been number one in Kiruv B'Chokim and arousing the spark of Jews all over, even Jews who are very distant from Judaism, even Jews who had almost no connection whatsoever. But there is another aspect of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which obviously people are not aware of. He was a Gaon Adir. I don't know if such a Gaon, I would say he was a colossal figure in Gaonis. How do I translate Gaonis? He probably, even though he himself did not necessarily write it, but in terms of Shiurim that he gave, more, I would say, Torah came out of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, than probably any Gadol in the last 100 years. That's the Torah Shebaal Peh of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'll give you a few other examples. You people are not so familiar with Gedolei Yisrael, which is very unfortunate. Because if you familiarize yourself with them, you'll only gain from it. Hagon of Yaakov Kamenetsky, that was zochet to meet in 1983 with my wife. Again, I don't know how much you know about him. There's an Oscar biography of Yaakov Kamenetsky, a beautiful one, absolutely. And most people think about Yaakov Kamenetsky. I don't know anyone who has any familiarity with him. Anybody in this room? Wow. We are in trouble.
Yeah, give Yoshi a little trouble.
So many people associate him with, he was an incredibly insightful person. People came to him for advice. The Gedolei Yisrael called him Hakima de Yudoi, Zalash and Gemara, the wisest man among the Jewish people. Rabbi Shafanzin used to send people to him for advice. A genius in terms of advice. But the truth of the matter is, I heard him say Shiurim on Tanakh. I went to Torah Masorah conventions. That's an organization which is like an umbrella organization for different, for educational institutions all over the United States. Actually, it's all over North America, probably even all over the world. He was an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, massive Talmud Chacham. But people were not even so aware of it. He was Rosh Yeshiva Torah Vadas for an extended period of time. So yeah, he had a Torah Shebassam, a Torah Shebaal Peh. I'll give you another example. Okay, this one you should probably be familiar with. Rav Chaim Shulevitz, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Bir Yeshiva. What is he known for?
Sichas Musar.
Excellent. Sichas Musar. So one has the impression, he was a nice Baal Musar. I actually went to his Shmuzin, to his Sichot for about a year and a half, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, in 71, 72. But there's another aspect of Chaim Shmuel Levitz. I heard from Rabbi Shechter, Shlita, a good Rabbi Herschel Shechter, who you, I hope, are familiar with. He said that he was the greatest Magid Shir next to our Soloveitchik that he ever heard. He was a good in Kol HaTorah Kula. The famous story when they were traveling to Shanghai and they're on the boat and they asked Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Abu Haltman, where are we? So they wanted to know latitude, longitude, where they were located. So he answered, Mehalten Shmeitzer Gimel. He was reviewing the Shef Shmeitzer, the whole Sefer. He said, we're holding in the middle of the third section of the Shef Shmeitzer. That's where he was holding. He was holding in Kol HaTorah Kula. Anyone knows the Chidusha of Chaim Shmuel Levitz? There exist such Chidushim. Of course, he's the father-in-law of one of your favorite Achronim. Chidushe Rav Nochum. That's his Shver. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. But he's primarily known for his Shmuzin, for his Sichos, which is amazing. So here you have the Torah Shemitzah, which is his Sichos, his Shmuzin, which are good. But who put with them? But the underlying element that somehow was seemingly missing is this second element. He was a giant of a Golubat Torah. There are other examples. I asked someone, an American, who's a bit older than you are, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, you ever heard about him? So he said, I asked him, what was his claim to fame? So that's what he told me. All the different pair of tzitzis that he wore. That's all he did, obviously. It was just, matter of fact, I once was lucky to see him in his home. I couldn't believe it. He's thin like a toothpick. I thought he was a rather, how shall we put it, corpulent type of fellow, of a robust nature. But that was clearly a function of all the tzitziot that he wore. And that's all this fellow knew about him. He was a going chain kamo. He devoted his life to Klal Yisrael. Every afternoon people came to literally ask him advice, etzes, problems that they had. I was one of those people who talked about China.
Are you a big Yankee fan?
I'm coming to that. And then he told me, and I was a very young man at that point in time, I'm talking about the early 70s, he told me he's a Yankee fan. He asked me if I'm a Yankee fan. I said, of course I am. I grew up in New York. The Dolly Ador, the Bronx Bombers. What are you talking about? There's nothing comparable to that. And then he proceeded to demonstrate his knowledge of baseball. I was flipping out. I couldn't believe what's going on here. So I knew him as a Yankee fan, and someone had a lot of tzitzis. And then I discovered that he was a mechaber of many, many svarim. He was a Magid Shir, a Rosh Hashiva, a Talmud Rabach there, a Lebek HaShmuel in Europe. Wow. Again, a Torah Shibachsam, a Torah Shibachpeh. Amazing. And another example, because I'm going to talk about his son momentarily, is Hagoyin Rasham Azalman Oyabah Zatzal. Now, I think you seem to be somewhat aware. Maybe you'll tell me how you saw Rasham Azalman Oyabah. What would you say, offhand? Anybody? The smile on his face is absolutely, I don't know how to describe it, a beatific vision. I never saw a picture of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach without a smile. And he's told me, one of his talmidim bevokim, Hagoyin Avigdor Levinzon Shlita, I also never saw him without a smile on his face. And even when I come there, which is quite often, there's also a smile on his face. I got to know Rav Levinzon many, many years ago when I came to Eretz Yisrael. I figured I needed someone to be a Rebbe. I needed a Rebbe. I'm looking for a Rebbe. So I went around searching to see if someone would be in sync with my Weltschau, with my thinking, my Hashkafa. Couldn't find too many people.
Was Joey around?
What shall we do with these people?
Real quick.
Anyway, so I then one day, or one evening, proceeded to come to his home to introduce myself, and I asked him a question, and I was standing outside, it was in the winter, and then he told me to, why don't you come inside? I said, no, I don't want to bother the Gadol HaDor. So okay, so I stood there outside in my coat, and my jacket, and my sweater, all my winter paraphernalia, and he came out in his shirt sleeves, and he must have been somewhat cold, probably, since we were in the hallway. And then after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, he said to me, Rav David, tikanis, enter, you can come inside. So I said, I don't want to bother the Rav. I'm not bothering him. The guy's shivering all over the place. Anyway, so he says, Chakir, wait a moment. He goes inside, and I don't know what happened, why he sort of left me. Came back about 3-4 minutes later. He put on his sweater, his jacket, his coat, and his hat. And then he gave me this big smile, which was like a hint why don't you come inside? And that's when I came inside. Anyway, I stayed there for about an hour and a half, which of course is something that you probably would do as well. Why not bother to go to Lazar since you have already? Why not make him crazy with all these silly questions? And then I discovered that he was saying a shmuz. He said a sicha every Monday night from 10:30 to 11. So then for the next 8 years, I did his sicha from 10:30 to 11. And then at 11 o'clock, after he finished the sicha, I then would go ahead, and when he would get up, I would start walking him. So he asked me, what are you doing? I said, I need a I want to give him some libui. He needs some escort. I don't think he needed any escort from myself at all. I would escort him, and for 8 years, I escorted him for about approximately, I'm not exaggerating, from 11 to 12:30 every Monday night. 11 p.m. till 12:30 a.m. And we'd walk around, and then I would see when he'd come near the coastal area, he would start looking and start crying. I would walk on my midrash. I was a very spooky kind of fellow. Matter of fact, I'll tell you one other story before I get to what I'm talking about tonight. Well, this is just a little hakdamah. So, in the Lebanon War, in Eretz Yisrael, so this story was told to me by one of the Rambam in the Shivat Eretz Yisrael, called the Gush, some people call it the Gush. So I'm friendly with one of the Rambam there, Rabbi Yamin Tabori, Hashem should give him a full shema. So, I actually played basketball with him back in the day. He's older than I am, a number of years. He's not a bad basketball player at all. Neither is the one who played with him. But anyway, so Rabbi Yamin Tabori tells me the following story. Lebanon War, he goes to Lebanon to visit the soldiers from the yeshiva, from the Gush, from the Shivat HaRetzion. Rabbi Yamin so went on behalf of the Shivat. At that time, he was with what's called the Shivat HaKotel. Maybe you're familiar with it. I assume you are. So he went with the soldiers of Shivat HaKotel. They birthed together in the same place. They both come back and visit the soldiers in the day, saying shiurim. They come there at nighttime. There's a blackout because it's a war zone, and everything is pitch black. And so they come about 12:30 at night. So Rav Tabor told me he was exhausted completely from beginning to end, and he goes to sleep. There two beds there, one for him, one for Rav Nebetzol, and in similar Rav Nebetzol also goes to bed. 15 minutes later, he hears moaning and groaning, Rav Tabor. So all of a sudden he sort of wakes up. What is that coming from? And he can't see because it's all pitch black. Then he sees in the corner on the floor Rav Nebetzol, and he's crying. So he couldn't understand why in heaven's name is he crying. And then he realized he's saying Tikkun Chatzos. I don't know if you're familiar with that. There's a practice mentioned in Shulchan Aruch to say Tikkun Chatzos over the Churban HaMikdash, and he feels very connected to this right next to the Makom HaMikdash, not far from it, and he's busy doing that. And that goes on for about half hour, 45 minutes, and he said to himself, boy, this fellow is really, he's a spooky guy. Zal Loshen, I'm just quoting Rabbi Tabor. Anyway, and then about an hour later, then he goes to sleep again. Then an hour later, again he hears very low noise, and he sees Rabbi Nebetzol has a sefer, a very fat sefer, and with a small flashlight, he's busy learning. Shas! He's like moving dapim. One dap, a second dap, it's a few minutes, third dap, a fourth dap, and this went on the rest of the night. And then in the morning, around Hasikin time, Rabbi Nebetzol puts on a salas and tefillin. He's a very makbid dam Hasikin for many, many years, I think his whole life, what I understand, and he's davening Masika, and he never saw someone davening like that. With tears, Shane Kamo, he said, I'm getting out of here. This guy is just too spooky for me. That's what Tabori told me. So he's a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So now I'm going to come to the present I want to talk about, but before I do that, something on the parasha I have to say, if you don't mind. The parasha of Kisisa, I assume you're aware. In which parasha is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned?
Tzavah.
Tzavah, last week. And the reason, according to Baal Turim, is based on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, "Mechenina b'sivu Hashem kasofta." He said to Hashem, "Erase my name." And so, when a great tzaddik says something, his words are going to be mekuyim in some form or fashion. I'm not describing, I'm discussing that right now. I'm just telling you what the Baal Turim says. So here in this week's parasha, I would venture to say that the name of Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned so many times in Pasuk Kisisa, it's amazing. And the reason simply, I believe, is because that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he's the greatest Navi, and we have a general cloud that, if you heard earlier, the Torah speaks about, that this is actually a Mishnah Bava Kama, I assume you probably know from the Mishnah in HaChevel. I imagine if you look at the last Mishnah in Perek HaChevel, where the Mishnah talks about the fact that Avram Avinu, if you remember, Avimelech, became ill, and Rav Amin was told to pray for him. And the Torah says, "Hispal vatcha bechiyed ki navi hu." He's a navi, and whatever a navi davens, automatically a navi's tefillos are going to be answered. And that's those are the tefillos of Avimelech. But we know that the prayer of Yishayo for Chizkiyahu Amelech when he took ill were answered. The Haftarah Parshas Kisisas, the Haftarah actually of the Talmud Mutar, the tefillah of Eliyahu HaNavi. But this rule that the tefillah of a Navi was never rejected has one exception. Amazing exception, because he's the Navi par excellence. Lo kam Navi ho b'yiso k'moshe, asher yudah Hashem panim apanim. And whose tefillahs are we talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu. We find a number of situations where the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu were not accepted. But in Parshas Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned again and again and again. And my Abayim used to say the following. Why is that so? Because in Parshas Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. And he becomes the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael primarily for one reason. Because even though there's a Yom Tov that celebrates probably Torah Shemitzav, which Yom Tov is that? Which Yom Tov celebrates Torah Shemitzav? Shavuos. How do you pronounce it? Excellent. There's another Yom Tov, which is the Gemara at the end of Tainis, you probably know, which celebrates Torah Shabbat Peh. Which Yom Tov is that?
Purim.
Purim is correct, but it's not the Gemara in Tainis, don't tell anyone. It's the Gemara in Makkah, the Gemara in Shabbos. But here I'm talking about the Gemara about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur actually is the Yom Tov of Torah Shabbat Peh, and it was given to Moshe at the second Luchos. Moshe became the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Without Torah Shabbat Peh, there's no concept of a Rebbe. It's not possible for a person to achieve scholarship in Torah or Lumbus without a Rebbe, and it's not possible for a person to have that level without learning Torah Shabbat Peh. The Pasuk says at the end of Kisisa, "Umoshe lo yada ki karan or panim bedaburito." His whole countenance began to radiate light. I'll read to you a Medrash, which I'm also very fond of, and the Medrash actually talks about Torah Shabbat Peh. The Medrash is found, the Medrash Tachuma, it's found in Parshas Noach. It tells you Torah Shabbat Peh, and you could probably just think about Bava Kamma, and then you'll understand the Medrash. It's a Torah Shabbat Peh, Kashe Lilmod. It's hard to learn. V'yesh Batzar Godol. And there's a lot of pain involved. V'yimushul of the Choshech. It's like darkness. And he quotes Psukim. And of course, after a period of time, a person will see Or Godol. You'll see a great light. And it goes on to say, and this is the Medrash that's quoting, Omer Lahem Al Torah Shabbat Peh. All this goes on Torah Shabbat Peh, this darkness. Sheesh ba diktuke mitzvahs kalos vechamuras v'yaza kamoves v'kosher kishol kina l'fisha ein lo min asa. Who learns Baba Kama? Only mi shehoi v'akadosh baruch hu b'chol levavo b'chol nafsho b'chol ma'odo. Someone who loves Hashem with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all of his Erech Chazal learn ma'odo. Ma'odo refers to ma'amonu. You might say that in Ma'amsachim, Ma'amsubis. So that's what it refers to. Someone has to love Hashem unbelievably in order to learn Baba Kama. What would you say? Is that true? I would say so. Whoever pursues material things will not be able to study Torah Shabbat Peh. There's tremendous effort that has to be put in. You can't sleep a lot. And on and on and on. And that's what the Medrash talks about. And Moshe Rabbeinu became the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael Dafka in this week's Parsha. And so in order to become of that level, it's clear that one has to be knowledgeable in Torah Shabbat Peh. Baruch Hashem, all of you have the great schus of learning Torah Shabbat Peh this year, learning Baba Kama, which is one of the most fantastic maseftas in Shas. To me, they're all fantastic, but Baba Kama is certainly one of the outstanding ones, undoubtedly. So now, from here, I'm going to go on and talk about one of the Gdolei Ador, whose Yahrzeit, first Yahrzeit was this year, and he is the son of Rav Shlom Zalman Auerbach. His name was Agoyim Rav Shmuel Auerbach. Now, I have to be Rabbi Kunzel told me today I should be objective when I make the presentation. Again, I'm using the same format that I spoke about earlier. Most people, when they think about Hagoyim Rav Shmuel Auerbach, think about a certain group of people in this country who are acting in a very, according to my humble opinion, inappropriate fashion. There's a group called the Peleg Yerushalmi. Probably most of you have never heard about them. They are against young men going into the Israeli army, going into IDF, they're against the Tzava, but they feel the need to become demonstrative about it. What am I talking about? They burn all the green dragons. You know what I'm talking about?
They don't sign the exemption.
They don't? Correct? Yeshiva Bachim who learn, and others as well, are given exemptions by the army. There's no need to become demonstrative. There's no need to demonstrate. They feel, this group of people, that there's a need to demonstrate and not, as mentioned, not to sign the exemption. And they, besides burning green dragons, they also block highway traffic, literally, lying down on Kvish Echad, which is the main highway going from here to Tel Aviv, and the like. I've experienced this, shall we say, this kind of behavior, which to me is absolutely unconscionable. And I'm not going to go into that whole issue, my position on the matter. I think my position is fairly well known for those who know me in Yeshiva. IDF people in this country are giving up their lives, so we in Torah Shragan call them Torah, and we have to makotot to them, profound akar satov, to these individuals who are really chayalei tzahal, who are unbelievable people, and it's irrelevant whether they're observant or not observant. They are putting their lives down, so Klali Yisrael can learn Torah in SSL. Just one last story, if I get to Rav Shmuel Auerbach, and that is that Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, I heard him once say, Erev Yom Kippur, one of the shmuzim, one of the sichot I went to, he said he went to the kotel on Erev Yom Kippur, and he met a chayal, chiloni, a second chayal, not observant at all, totally not observant, and he hugged him. This fellow was wondering, why is this, as he called him, he said in Yiddish, why is this black gentleman, black meaning black, Shchoran Yivanova, black is beautiful, doesn't share shirim, dressed in black, you got my general gist. Why is he hugging me and kissing me? So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz told him, if not for you, Yeshivat Mir lo yichola lachzik ma'amad. The Mir Yeshiva would not be able to be sustained. You are supporting the Mir Yeshiva, you're protecting us, and we are makatot to you.
And they put him in chair.
Then the briskers put him in chair. The next day. The briskers know how to learn, but they have some issues in the cranium area. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, so the... I want to speak about Hagoyin of Shmuel Auerbach. Why? Because many of this group of people who are being demonstrative hold him to be their Rebbe. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand. I'm being very, very honest. I don't understand this kind of behavior. To me, it's unconscionable, unfathomable, absolutely. I have to be polite. Incorrigible. Probably not helping you all this.
Nope.
I don't subscribe to it. It's hard for me to believe that this Gaon Hador was a chelik of this, was a part of it. I'll just leave it at that. I want to talk about the one that is known as Abu HaDishmuel. Who is Abu HaDishmuel? There's a famous Amora in Shas named Shmuel. His father was also very well known. Rav Shmuel, you heard of, I imagine. That far we made some progress, Baruch Hashem. Abu HaDishmuel is often quoted in Shas, the father of Shmuel. So Rav Shmuel Zalman Oyebach, that's how the Gadol Hador, was called Abu HaDishmuel, the father of this Rav Shmuel Oyebach, which is no small description. Now, I was zochet to learn in a yeshiva called Itri. He was the Rosh Kodol in Itri, this Goyin Rav Shmuel Auerbach. And when I was there in Itri, there were a number of very, very hefty Talmidei Chachamim. Very, very massive Talmidei Chachamim. I'll mention them, maybe some of their names. You probably will not know who they are. One was Hagoyin Rav Shlomo Spitz, and he today actually is a yeshiva, of a yeshiva in Queens called Shara Torah. Anybody here come from Queens? You ever heard of Shara Torah? It's an Ashkenazi yeshiva, so you probably would not know. Are you familiar with it? I think it's in Kew Garden Hills, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know, Queens. What was that? Right. And there's another, also, Adam Godel, name is Lippa Geldworth, there's a yeshiva called Torah Tamima in Brooklyn. Where are anybody here from Brooklyn? Brooklyn has a few Jews. And there's a large yeshiva called Torah Tamima. It's on the corner somewhere, I don't know where, Ocean Parkway probably. As also this fellow is a very highly esteemed Talmud Chacham, also Rav. Anyway, so I had a bit of a kesher with them, except they spent many more years in Israel than I did. I was there a year and a half, I went back to the United States, and I heard a lot of things from them also about this Rav Shmuel Auerbach. And I want to begin to describe him, if you don't mind, somewhat. Let's begin by just, my Rosh Hashiva, whose name was Amonecha Elephant, was a tremendous Ilui, and he actually built a campus, which you may not be familiar with, it's called Beit Tzfafa. It's actually today Talpiot. There was no Talpiot then, non-existent. The whole neighborhood was non-existent. He claimed, by Rosh Hashiva, that he essentially captured that area from the Jordanians. Okay, I think there's one to be a little bit skeptical about that. But what he meant was he built an entire campus, which he did, a very beautiful campus. And Rav Shmuel Auerbach was a young man
I imagine that when I was in the yeshiva, he was in his 40s, approximately. And the first time I encountered Hagon Rav Shmuel Auerbach was when I daven Ma'ariv, probably the first Ma'ariv I daven in the yeshiva. What was his function in the yeshiva? He was a Sholem Eshin. And we have here Sholem Meshiva and Rav Yeshiva. Anybody familiar with them? I hope so. We have more than a few. He was in the second Seder, like the Bekir Seder in the afternoon. That was his function. And I remember the first time I spoke to him, including that day, I asked him a question in a sugya that bothered me in Mikvos. She was not learning Mikvos, but I asked him in Mikvos. Figured, why not? On the spot, he answered the question. He knew the entire Mishnah Mikvos by heart, Kimat. And then I was observing the people who came to talk to him. They talked to him Kimat in half the Masechtos and Shas. He was right there like he learned it today. I was absolutely astounded. I had not seen such greatness in probably my entire life, and I was taken by that. However, what followed was the first Ma'ariv that I davened in Itri. That was some Ma'ariv. I don't think I ever davened in a Ma'ariv like that probably my entire life. Ma'ariv in Itri was like, I'm not exaggerating, a regular Ma'ariv during the week was like almost davening on Yom Kippur. There were 500 guys in the yeshiva, about 250 Israelis, 250 Anglos, approximately, and the Ma'ariv that he davened was remarkable. I don't think I've ever seen such a Ma'ariv. His Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, just the first Pasuk of Kriya Shema, was just astounding. I don't know how to describe it. Arayom Hazeh, 46 years later, that Kriya Shema still resonates in my heart and in my mind. Ad Kedei Kach. His Kabbalah was mind-boggling. I just want to mention to you, just to get some idea of the level of godless of what we're talking about, of this individual. A person approached him, he was learning a sugya, Maseches Temura. Maybe some of you are not so familiar with that Masechta, hopefully it's Hashem, as Rabbi Ifra says, lot, you'll get there. It's one of the country Masechtas, a famous Masechta. And he had approached him with a Chabrusa, and he asked the Rosh Hashiva something, and he spoke to his Chabrusa, they were Anglos, and they said, one said to the other, ask the Rosh Hashiva, and he spoke in English, he didn't speak a word of English, it's Yushalmi. Ask the Rosh Hashiva about Rabbi Gershom. So that's all the Rosh Hashiva heard. Rav Shmuel Auerbach was Rabbi Gershom. He didn't hear anything else. He didn't understand anything else. He knew no English. And right away, he picked up his head. He said, Taka, it's a difficult Rabbi Gershom, the one that you're referring to. They didn't even say where, with Sugi and Temura, what they're learning. Just Rabbi Gershom. He said, if you look at the Malacha Shlomo on Temura, he answered your Kasha. They didn't even say what the Kasha was. He knew it already. This is called the Godless in Kabbalah Torah.
You mean you English?
No, that's what I'm pointing. He just heard Rabbi Gershom. He didn't know, ask him about, he didn't know what that meant. But right away, he knew the Rabbi Gershom they're talking about in Maseches Temura. And often I saw when I would talk to him in learning, he would complete the sentence before you had a chance. He knew exactly where you are, what your problem was, and right away he picked up on it immediately, and he was able to respond. And I'll mention a story which is, to me, another remarkable story. Maybe you heard of this. A great Gaon in Itri, Arayom Hazeh, Hagoyin Rav Shlomo Fischer. He needs a four shleima. Hashem should give him a four shleima. So Rav Shlomo Fischer has a rapid-fire recall of the entire Shas from Shemim and Achrenim. I remember asking him once, in 1971, who is the greatest Baki of our day? So, of course, the answer really could have been him. He knows Kalat Torah Kula. That was then. He said, no, Rav Avadi Yosef, that's all. He's the greatest Baki since the days of the Steichemet. The Steichemet is an encyclopedia written over 100 years ago. And he said, this Rav Avadya is the greatest Baki since the Steichemet, which is quite a compliment. And he's no slouch. This going to Shlomo Fischer. So Shlomo Fischer, once, someone asked him a question. They asked him a question on the same, which you're probably not so familiar with, on the Chavos Das. It's one of the Achreinim. In a certain simon of the Chavos Das. And they didn't understand that particular area. So Rav Shlomo Fischer responded, I have not seen that Chavos Das in 20 years. So one would think that, one would say that. So obviously he wouldn't be able to respond. A second later, he said over the entire Chavos Das that he hadn't seen in 20 years, and he clearly was not just saying over the Chavos Das, but the difficulty with that Chavos Das, and how to resolve it. So the fellow who asked me the question had a Chavlishos Hadas. How do you translate that? He became despondent. He said, I prepared this Chavos Das for 3 weeks, to ask the Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Shlomo Fischer. And he says, he hasn't seen it in 20 years. And then 20 years later, he just, like this, pulls it out. And I, 3 weeks I've been working on it and can't figure it out. And then he said the following statement. I have Chalish Sadas when I see you, Rosh Shlomo Fischer, and Hagoyin of Shmuel Orabach. So Rav Shlomo Fischer turned all white. So he thought he turned all white because of what he said. Namely, why are you getting so despondent? He said, no, then you'll become like myself or like Shmuel Orabach. No, that's not why he became despondent. He became despondent, turned all white. He said, what? You're comparing me to Rav Shmuel Orabach? I'm not even like, and he said, Kiklipas Hashum, I'm not like the peel of an onion compared to Rav Shmuel Orabach. And this is one of the Dolei Hador B'li Shum Safek. So, the league that he was in was, I don't know what league, how to describe it. I remember I once asked the Shiva, Rabbi Elephant, about Rav Shmuel Orabach. He told me he's holding in the stratosphere. He said he's in the Armon HaMelech, in the palace of the king, in terms of his greatness and learning. And he was oblivious to everything. He just sat and learned Kol HaYom V'Kol HaLaila. And really, Hasmada, I don't think I ever saw such Hasmada in my entire life. Tragically, his wife passed away, and they had no children. Several of Shlomo Zalman Orbach's children have no children. Not able to understand the Darkei Hashem. Recently, they found in his home, this is a year after the yahrzeit, the first yahrzeit, they found in his home, apparently hidden, manuscripts al kol hashas. He wrote Chiddush HaTorah at every Masechta Shas. And the manuscripts are ready for publication. They're going to publish it. They already started, called Darkei Shmuel. He was an astounding, astounding person, but you should know that he was a very, very sweet person, like his father. His father was also Masik Midvash. He also was a absolutely Masik Midvash. Very, very sweet person, incredibly sweet. And that really was one of the qualities that he had. It's very fascinating that, I don't know, again, he had a sense of humor. So he lived in Rechavia. In the Rechavia area, there's a yeshiva called Madal Satera. That's the name of his yeshiva. And he lived in his address was 70 Rashi. So whenever someone would ask him, where's the Rashi will live? He would answer, Ayin Rashi. I don't know if you get it. Ayin, 70, Ayin Rashi. Oh, even the jokes you don't get. We're in trouble over here. What I'm simply trying to underscore over here, and apparently I'm not succeeding too well, his friendship and his friendliness, but I want to just tell you really another aspect of Rav Shmuel that was unbelievable. He was the father of Yisrael Malmanos here in Eretz Yisrael. He became the father of Yisrael Malmanos. What he did for orphans and widows and people who are in Sora, mind-boggling. Not only raising money for them, not only going out to help them, Bal Chesed Mufla. That was his very essence. It was Chesed, not just Chesed in learning Torah and teaching others Torah, but primarily Chesed, his persona, in the Siris Nefesh for Talmidim. He loved his Talmidim. I would say I never saw any such Abba that I saw with Rav Shmuel Orabach. Just absolutely amazing what he wouldn't do for his Talmidim. And he had many halakhic ramifications. Someone told me that they were a Talmud in the Yeshiva Nitri, and they returned to America, and they came back 7 years later, and they did not even assume, when they came for a visit, that they went to Rav Shmuel, they gave Shalom Aleichem, he didn't recognize them, and over the course of 7 years, his appearance changed. And then when he began to speak, suddenly a big smile crossed his face, and he said that with his characteristic blend of kind of, I call it, Ava Tochocha, he says, I'm going to be Metzio. And then right then and there, he made a bracha Shechianim, Shem of Alchus, on this fellow. They had not seen in 7 years. It was a very extraordinary Gadol Batara, and it is very chaval, as I said, that you should minimally, there are many, many beautiful biographies today, Gadol Yisrael, And I think it's kedai to read what Gadol Yisrael have to say. I saw that Rav Nassim Sherman, he's a author of Otzkrol. Maybe you heard of Otzkrol. There's a rather number, a fair number of svarim that they've written. I think over 1,000. Like Shas and Poskim and Kibbutz Emi Sefer and Halacha Machshavah and Musa in Hebrew and English. I don't know how what the Otzkrol is mind-boggling. They saved Klal Yisrael. I hope you're aware of that. I don't use it so much, to be honest with you. But I tried to learn things on my own without the use of the article, to be honest with you, and I'm relatively successful. So a son of this, Rav Nassim Sherman, who's one of the editors of Oscar, so he was a Talmud in the 1980s of the yeshiva of Shmuel Orbach, and there was a time when he fell ill in the yeshiva and was unable to get out of bed for 2 days. He was alone in his own dira. He has no family in Eretz Yisrael. And he was feeling pretty down, and so came Rav Shmuel Orbach and spent many, many hours with him on an ongoing basis, schmoozing with him, telling him stories, even jokes. I don't know exactly the jokes of Gadol Yisrael are slightly different than my jokes. They're jokes that are usually based on Kol HaShas. For example, when I go to Rabbi Nevinson on Purim, which I often do, this year may be a problem because I think it's Friday, Tesvav, if I'm not mistaken. Is that not so? That's what my wife told me. Anyway, so years ago there, and Rav Nevinson then proceeds to, he's mechaber gramin, you know what gramin are? La 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 la. How's he mechaber gramin? Based on Tanakh, Shas, Peskim, Bavli, Yerushalmi.
On the spot. You ever take a video if he goes this year?
I wanted to, and he would not let me. He doesn't like even to take his picture. He gets very upset with Rebbe said, Allah Hashem, he remarried recently. She passed away 3 years ago. So we used to go there. My wife's very into pictures. Avoy Yerdecha Rose is Marecha. And it says, Hakol Holeh Basar Hatzilum. It's a Gemara in Avim Tzachim. You probably know that Gemara. The Gemara doesn't exactly say that. We just turned to Nusach. The Gemara says, Hakol Holeh Basar Achisum. And I changed the Lashon from Chisum to Tzilum, the picture. Everything goes after the picture. Anyway, so Bikitzer, so we have the picture. And we're about to take a picture. And all of a sudden, Rebbe Nevinson puts his hat down. And his wife, Allah Hashem, said, Avigdor, top chicken's hat. Stop that! By the way, he picks up his hat. Massive smile. We got a few albums of Rabbi Nevinson. Over the years, it took us a number of years to put that together because we used to visit him. Anyway, so Shmuel Orbach sits by this fellow who's ill and starts telling him all kinds of witty anecdotes in order to cheer him up because he was feeling down. Someone told me they came to Eretz Yisrael with their wife for a chasana, and they called the Rosh Hashiva and they said, Hashiva says, my Rebbe says you have to come to us for lunch. He invited them for lunch, this couple. So he agreed, and now later, they're staying at a hotel. They get a call from the desk of the hotel. Someone wants to see you. There's someone there who could be there to see me, because he just came to himself, Rav Chasana with his wife, and it was Rav Shmuel Orbach, waiting at the desk. He was shocked. He said, why did Rav Shiva come to me? I was going to go over there. He said, well, I was afraid you wouldn't come, so I came to get you. He was such a personality. He was such an unbelievable person. And I'll just mention that something which is very striking to me. Someone recently asked, and I thought that this is a very beautiful story, and I actually looked into it. there's, you probably, oh, sorry, it's me. I'll mention the story because it's, I think, a very telling story. It was a young Rosh Hashiva who had a terrible dilemma. He usually has to shaylos either to Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, or sometimes he has to Rav Shmuel Orbach. Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In Yerushalayim, he had a yeshiva in the outskirts of Yerushalayim, and Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman told him to stay put for the sake of his children to commute. Rav Shmuel Orbach disagreed. He feels that a yeshiva has to live near the yeshiva. We have a mashgiach. I don't know if you know who he is. I imagine by now you probably do. I hope. So he lives near the yeshiva locally. We have also, thank God, one or two other rabbis who also live here locally, and their contribution to the yeshiva is inestimable, unparalleled. Would you not agree? Because of their presence. Anyway, so there was a great philanthropist who offered this yeshiva a third of $1 million needed to construct the building the yeshiva desperately needed. The yeshiva realized there was no way he could raise ever more than one third of what the soul is going to give him. And together with his wife, he decided to sell their apartment in Yerushalayim in order to make the building a reality. They could take that third and the apartment in Yerushalayim, which is not cheap, you probably can imagine. And so, but he didn't know what he should do. So he went to Rav Shmuel Auerbach. Rav Shmuel Auerbach said, I can't answer. So he pressed him, what do you mean? Rashiva, I have to know. I want to hear the Rashiva's advice. Very smart guy, besides being a Goyin HaTorah. He said, I can't answer. You have to ask the Zikni Ador. I have to ask Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz and when they rock over there, or about their statement, Zechat Sadiq and Bebracha. So he said, why? So he said the following answer. He said, an apartment is both a place for a man as well as a woman. However, there's a big difference between a man and a woman regarding an apartment. A man, it's a place that he lives, it's an asset. That's how he looks at. For a woman, Chazal say, Ein Beis Ovel Ishta. A woman's wife is his home. And the home is the wife. What a woman contributes to the home, no one can possibly understand. No man can possibly understand. So if you're going to sell a home, so for you, you'll find another place. And Shmuel was childless. He never had a child, as I mentioned earlier. And at that time, he was already a widower. So he said, Rabbi Lei, Rabbi Yehuda Lefkowitz, they have homes with children. They understand what it means to live in a home. He says, I can't advise you, but go to them. Anyway, this unbelievable sensitivity that he had was something that he really was blessed with. It's clearly a product of his family, not just his father, his mother. But I'll just end by saying the following, that I heard him speak about other Gedolei Yisrael, and I don't think I ever heard such dveikus in my entire life. When he spoke about other Gedolei Yisrael, it was mind-boggling. He's the achares for everyone. How do you go back to his home in Yerushalayim on a daily basis? There was a tender, which is like a pickup truck, had room for one person, and all the others hopped in the back, jumped on the back. Who jumped on the back? Five Gedolei Ador. I used to watch this every day. I was astounded. Five Gedolei Ador, one sits in the front. Who's that? The oldest. They put him in the front, and the others hopped on the back of the truck. Each one is a bigger Gedolei Yisrael than the other. All Gedolei Olam. That left such an impression on me. So, just by Sikkum, my life was so impacted by observing these Gedolei Yisrael that probably as a result of that year and a half, I changed the course of my life. My father was shown, wanted me to be in some area of science. My father's a Cooper Union graduate. He thought that physics and math are good fields. That's what one should enter. And as you can see, I went off the derech, largely because of the Gedolei Yisrael that I saw. I included Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and Nisim Alper Zatzal, Rav Kanatapsky Zatzal, all the people that I had a shaykhus with, and many of these Gedolei Yisrael that I was so able to see at Yitzri. I remember that the Rashiv used to say a shir once a week. They were lined up like a galaxy of Gedolei Yisrael. Wow, what a sight to see. It left such an impression on me. I hope Amitz Hashem, I'm espoused every day that all you should observe V'hoyu egnecha rodos es barecha. You have some outstanding rabbeim here in the yeshiva. I look up to them. They are like my models in many, many respects. And halavai, all of you should attempt to be me'ein some of these beautiful rabbeim that we have in our yeshiva, similar to the good of Shmuel Auerbach.